This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Israel is expressing sincere sorrow over six World Central Kitchen workers and their Palestinian driver killed in a missile strike as they left a food warehouse in Gaza today. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has the details.
Israeli military spokesman Daniel Hagari.
We have been reviewing the incident in the highest levels to understand the circumstances of what happened and how it happened.
The Israelis are promising an independent investigation.
We will get to the bottom of this and we will share our findings transparently.
The World Central Kitchen says the workers were in clearly marked vehicles and their movements were coordinated with the Israeli military. The charity has now suspended its operations in Gaza.
A deadly shooting involving sixth graders overseas.
I'm Vicky Barker at the Foreign Desk in London. Police in Finland say a 12-year-old opened fire on fellow schoolmates this morning, killing one and seriously wounding two others. The suspect fled but is now in custody. The surviving victims are in a local hospital.
Finnish police say the young suspect used a handgun whose permit belongs to a close relative. Florida's Supreme Court has given the okay for a six-week abortion ban to take effect May 1st. In a separate decision, it's ruled the issue can appear on the November ballot. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
So people in Florida can vote on whether or not in the Florida Constitution they will protect the right to obtain an abortion.
Former President Trump has posted $175 million bond in his New York civil fraud case. It prevents the state attorney general from seizing any assets, including Trump Tower, while he appeals. A judge in New York has also expanded a gag order in Trump's criminal hush money trial. People in the Midwest are waking up to devastation from violent winds, hail, and tornadoes. KOTV's Bob Roloff from Barnesdall, Oklahoma, where a suspected twister touched down.
We've had considerable damage up here. Roofs, buildings, houses. A couple buildings have been leveled from what I've talked to neighbors down here.
Some parts of the Northeast are bracing for the possibility of snow. Forbes has just released its updated list of billionaires, topping that list.
The richest person in the world is Bernard Arnault, who's a luxury goods kingpin. His company LVMH owns everything from Louis Vuitton to Christian Dior to Tiffany and Sephora.
Senior editor Chase Peterson-Withhorn says there are more billionaires in the United States than in any other country in the world. S&P futures down 14. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin Tuesday night. His national press secretary won't say whether the former president will announce any political endorsements in Green Bay. Caroline Levitt tells WISN-TV's Upfront that Trump will unveil his agenda. Both Trump and President Biden have already clinched their party's nominations. The Wisconsin primary is also Tuesday. Children in Wisconsin from low-income homes will get nutritious food this summer. Wisconsin will take part in the federal Summer Electronic Benefit Transfer Program. Qualifying families will get preloaded debit cards to use to buy groceries.
We've got families with low incomes, most of them working, by the way, but just not able to put that extra meal on the table for kids who are at home during the summer months.
Shelley Fortner is with the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewer baseball today. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers' home opener this afternoon against the Minnesota Twins. 31-year-old right-hander Jacob Junis gets his first start for the crew after being signed in February. Junis pitched for the Giants and the Royals before that. Former pitcher, now analyst Tim Dillard, on what he thought of the Brewers' sweep of the Mets in New York over the weekend.
I liked how well-rounded the team was. I love good baseball. I love watching what I think is correct baseball and how you play it. And we saw everything from sack fly to home runs to walks, stolen bases, hitting behind the runners. That right there, taking the extra base at third and just straight up challenged. That kind of stuff. I love the way they played this series. It was the most well-rounded baseball I think I've seen in a long time. And if this is what the Brewers season is going to look like in 2024, it's going to be a fun watch.
NBA, the Bucks play the Wizards tonight in D.C. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered light rain and snow showers likely. Our high 44 this afternoon, the wind north at 10 to 20. Tonight, light rain and snow, our low down to 30, some minor accumulation. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, very windy with scattered light snow and a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Hey, this is Aaron from the Todd Allbaugh Show. Next up on the What Makes Wisconsin Great Beer, Cheese, and Radio Tour with Todd and Trick V is UW Lacrosse. Join us on Tuesday, noon to 2.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On this Tuesday morning, April 2nd, 2024, it's Election Day across Wisconsin. There's a presidential primary, there are local elections, statewide referenda on some constitutional amendments, and we'll talk about that and much more with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez in just a moment. But first, to give you a quick weather update, because coinciding with Election Day and with the Brewers' home opener against the Twins at American Family Field today, we're dealing with a winter storm warning. It looks like a pretty nasty little beast is heading this way for counties that include Marinette, Menominee, Oconto, Door, Shawano, Waupaca, Outagamie, Brown, Kewaunee, Washera, Winnebago, Calumet, and Manitowoc. All of those counties have a winter storm warning in effect from 1 o'clock this afternoon until 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, as rain changes over to wet, heavy snow, accumulations of 8 to 12 inches in many places, 14 inches in far northeast Wisconsin, lower accumulations by the Lake Michigan shoreline, but gusty winds of 45 miles an hour will cause blowing and drifting snow tonight. There is a winter weather advisory for basically the entire ring of counties adjacent to that winter storm warning area. So again, in all of these places, take good care whether you're heading to the stadium, whether you're heading to your favorite polling place. You've got, of course, as Rob is telling us, Fox 11 is calling this snowstorm Cora, because some places believe in naming their snowstorms. Rob checks in from Tigerton saying, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 33. People in eastern Wisconsin, he writes, should get out and vote before the weather turns bad. I'll be voting at the historic Germania Town Hall and then getting my snowblower ready for the main event tonight and tomorrow morning. Yep, and that's why I voted early, in-person absentee, because, again, you just never know what's coming up on Election Day. It could be weather-related. It could be something else that goes on in your life. But right now, before all of that arrives, it's 37 here on Lake Wissota, Hayward at 31, Park Falls 32, Wausau checking in at 34 degrees, Green Bay 37, La Crosse 35, Wisconsin Rapids 33. It's 37 in Oshkosh, 38 in Madison, 36 in Waukesha. And again, it's going to be a busy day. Don't yet know if a former President Donald Trump is going to still stick with the rally in Green Bay given the winter storm warning. But we did find out this morning that President Joe Biden is going to be coming back to Wisconsin next week, Monday, to talk about economic issues. So for all that and so much more ground to cover on this Tuesday morning, we are quite honored to be joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to have you here, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, really getting out the word that there's so much more to this election than a presidential primary, which is basically sewn up by both parties. But there's just a lot on the ballot that you want to make sure that people know about.
Right, right. There's a couple of things on the ballot that I think people should be paying attention to. And one of those things is the two amendments that you're going to have to choose, the constitutional amendments that you're going to have to choose is usually at the end of your ballot. Both of them, I am recommending that you vote no on both of those. And let me tell you why. Because the first one on the amendment, or the one that's there, is really talking about not having any outside funding for elections. Now, if we all remember 2020, a little thing called COVID happened, and we needed to be able to administer elections with other resources, whether that was masks, whether that was, you know, making sure that we had larger spaces for people. And the legislature did not add additional funding to the folks to be able to administer those elections. And so that's when they went for grant funding. And so what this would do is make sure that people could not actually apply for any grant funding. So that's one of the ones that's on there today. The other one is, you know, who is defined as an election worker? This is already defined in legislation. We do not need a constitutional amendment to define who an election worker is. It is just really trying to weaken our elections. It's trying to put doubt in people's minds that there is some concern about who an election worker could be. And so I just want to make sure that people are really aware of this and that it is very, very challenging if these two would pass to make sure that we can administer elections effectively here in Wisconsin without additional funding from the legislature.
It really is worth noting, and we do so repeatedly on this program, that in no other developed nation on earth is there an entire political class that is dedicated to making it harder to vote or making it harder to administer elections. You just have to think back to in Georgia, where they made it illegal to bring water to people standing in line to vote. And now you're looking at an effort to block funds that could make elections smooth and safe and convenient for Wisconsinites. None of this is something I thought that we would necessarily see in our lifetime. And yet, Sarah, here we are again facing an entire political group in this country that wants to make it tougher to administer elections in our state.
Right, right. You know, we've heard it across the board. They try to make it more difficult for college students to vote. They've tried to make it more difficult for individuals to be able to, you know, give their ballots in. The one example I give is, you know, my mother, she's almost 80. She lives with me. And we often vote early. And so we often vote early and by mail. And I am not allowed to put her ballot in the mailbox. She has to do it herself. That is the law. That is something that they made sure that that passed in here in Wisconsin, and that is just the silliest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. That I can't put it in the mailbox for her; she has to do it herself.
It is, and look, it wouldn't stop there. You look at the things that haven't happened yet, but were thwarted along the way. The far right group that tried to get perhaps tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of voter names stricken from the rolls in Wisconsin, based on shaky data at best. That's the kind of thing that could simply come back again next year if elections this November don't go well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is the agenda, trying to make it more difficult to vote, and particularly targeting those who, traditionally vote for Democrats. That is just really, really upsetting to me. So, I even look at where I live, which is a suburb of Milwaukee. I live in Waukesha County. And if I wanted to go in person to vote, my line is not going to be that long. But if you look at some of our larger cities and you look at some of our college towns, you see lines going down the block to be able to vote when you have a lot more individuals within those cities. That shouldn't happen that way. We should all have the same access to be able to vote.
Absolutely. And now for folks that will be voting today, especially in Northeast Wisconsin, if you set aside for a moment the winter storm that's hitting there now, I still wonder what your thoughts are that the former president schedules a rally for Green Bay for the same day as the election. It sounds rather disruptive, more like a vanity project if people choose to go see Donald Trump rather than remembering to go vote. It doesn't seem like the best way to run, you know, a get out the vote effort is to have a competing rally on election day. Maybe the weather will play a role in it, and this will all be a moot point. Who knows?
That's true. He may not be coming at all. I mean, and I can't really understand the many, many bizarre things that former President Trump has done and said. But we know he doesn't really care about Wisconsin. He hasn't been here since 2022. He has not been here. And we know that President Biden and Vice President Harris have been here just collectively 7 times in the last year. They know how important Wisconsin is. They care about us here. They're the ones who are showing up for us. And now some last minute primary visit, which may or may not even happen because of the snow. I mean, we just know that he's not really interested or invested in Wisconsinites at all.
Now, I really want your take as Lieutenant Governor and somebody from the Waukesha County area. There is a real deep dive in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by, you know, longtime reporter Craig Gilbert, talking about the divide between suburban voters, especially around Milwaukee, versus voters throughout the rest of the state. Now, again, we're talking about Republican voters in this case. Mm-hmm. But again, from your geographic standpoint, He points out that once upon a time, you know, Ted Cruz won the primary here 8 years ago because Republicans around your neck of the woods in the suburbs there really were turned off by Donald Trump compared to, you know, the rest of Wisconsin. Then all the Republican voters kind of came together during the Trump presidency, but polling indicates that divide again. You're closer to Republican voters, you know, in that part of the state than I am. Do you sense that as well, that the suburban voters are once again really in play compared to, you know, say a decade ago?
Absolutely. I live here. I live in Waukesha County. I kind of joke that if I didn't have Republican friends, I wouldn't have very many friends, right?
Same up here. Yes, ma'am.
There you go. And so we talk a lot and respectfully about policy. And that is what I know everybody wants us to get back to, because it is very, very frustrating. But I will tell you that, you know, Donald Trump gets very little love from suburban voters over here. They are just frustrated with his rhetoric. They do not want to go back to the chaos of his administration. And so I am thinking that, you know, President Biden is going to do very, very well in Waukesha County and the suburbs, because he talks about things that are important to the people that I live next to, whether that's abortion rights, whether that's the right to vote, whether that's fully funding public schools, whether that's making sure we've got a strong economy that works for everybody. These are the things that people want to make sure our leaders are focusing on, not this divisive rhetoric and chaos that President Trump represents.
Right. Now, among the comments coming in through social media, Mary puts on YouTube saying, did they word these questions so that anyone can understand what it means? I feel they write in circles to confuse the voter. And I'll just give my 2 cents on that, saying, yeah, they are written in a somewhat a confusing manner. And the whole point is they're trying to sell this on concepts alone. They're just going to say, do you not want private money, without explaining everything that the lieutenant governor just did? So when we come back after this very short break, we'll talk to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez more about the importance of today's elections, and also things that the legislature didn't get done before starting a 10-month paid vacation. That's all coming up just a little over 60 seconds away, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Tuesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned, Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Tomorrow on the program, Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski reflects on 1 year in office and, again, the continued assaults on democracy in Wisconsin. Then Thursday, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and our friends from Motherhood for Good will be part of a rather blockbuster Women Win Wisconsin segment. With the spring elections behind us, we're starting to get clarity on who will be running for some of the offices coming up this fall. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is back with us to talk more about these elections, both today and the ones coming down the road, and things that did and didn't get done in the state capitol during the most recent legislative session. Lieutenant Governor, if we could talk about for a moment the fact that there are around 90 plus school referendums on the ballot. And again, we've certainly mentioned this quite a bit on the program, that if people are frustrated by that, the place to take out their frustrations is not, you know, today in the voting booth, but perhaps November. And I want your opinion on whether these new legislative maps this fall might make it less likely that we see nearly 100 school referendums on the ballot every cycle.
And that is honestly the hope. I am so excited that we now have fair maps in Wisconsin. We have a fighting chance to do the types of legislation that Wisconsinites want out of the legislature. And that is things like fully funding our public schools. Why are there so many referendums on the ballot? That is because this is the only options the school have right now to be able to provide the services that kids need. I have the privilege of going all around the state of Wisconsin, and I talk to folks within school districts every day. They know that they need to provide additional services, whether that's mental health care for kids. We know that COVID really had made our kids struggle when they stayed home, when the schools closed, and schools are trying to catch up, but they need a little extra help with that. And that's what many of these referendums on the ballot are, is to try to provide additional services or additional room for kids to be able to learn in an area where they can be successful.
And so, again, we'll follow how those school referendum issues go down tonight. We'll have results tomorrow morning as part of our homeroom segment and talk to folks affected by the Milwaukee ballot question, as well as others going on around the state. Let's turn the focus for a sec to the legislative session that recently finished. And as a former legislator yourself, I know you've heard this many times, even though you were on the Democratic side and it was Republican leadership that was doing this, but Republican leadership was putting the legislature on paid hiatus for 9 or 10 months at a time, and they're doing it again this year. And again, with a record budget surplus, it certainly sounds to me like another lost opportunity to do good by the Wisconsin taxpayers, families, farmers, small business owners, and more.
Oh, I agree. I agree. There were so many things that could have been happening this last legislative session. And I'll talk about one that's near and dear to my heart, which is Badger Care or Medicaid expansion here in Wisconsin. We are now only one of 10 states nationally that has not expanded Medicaid, and very soon probably to become 9 or 8 states, as we look at many of these southern states that have traditionally resisted Medicaid expansion are now putting it through their legislature. But we have the unique distinction in Wisconsin of actually being able to save money on our general budget if we expanded Medicaid. We're talking about $2 billion, with a B, that we would be able to save over the biennium if we expanded here in Wisconsin. And that is just, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make fiscal sense. It's the right thing to do for individuals to be able to have health care. And so that's really frustrating that that type of legislation, what I wrote it when I was in the assembly, didn't even get a hearing in the health committee, wouldn't even have the discussion about what this would look like. And so that is just very frustrating to me as a nurse, as somebody who has worked in public health and dealt with individuals who did not have access to appropriate and affordable health care. It affects everybody's lives, and it is a nonpartisan issue. When we look, this is something that the vast majority of Wisconsinites want us to do. They want us to expand Medicaid. They want us people to have access to affordable health insurance. And we should just do this. It just makes sense all around.
Oh, this is such a long-running temper tantrum over the fact that the Affordable Care Act passed. And then there's a subset of this whole topic, and that is that Wisconsin is one of only, I forget if it's three or four states, that haven't, at the very least, expanded Medicaid coverage so that new moms have stable and affordable health care coverage a year postpartum rather than, what is it currently, 60 days, I believe?
Yeah, that is just, that is shameful. Honestly, that is shameful that we have not done that. And people, I don't know if individuals understand how that postpartum period can be quite dangerous. For the mother, that we do have morbidity and mortality. We have individuals who die or have health complications after having a baby. And to be able to provide them 12 months of stable health care, that's the kind of thing that just makes sense. Again, we want moms to be able to take care of their new babies. We want them not to have to worry about how they're going to afford their medications or how they're going to go back into the doctor if they have complications. And the fact that we can't even expand it 12 months postpartum is, again, just really, really shameful for Wisconsin. And it's something that I'm hoping when we have these new maps, and we get a more balanced legislature within Wisconsin, we're going to be able to do these types of things for individuals.
And let's be clear on this particular issue. This one came out of the Senate, I think it was 32-1, if I'm not mistaken. It was as bipartisan as it gets. It didn't get brought up in the Assembly because of one person, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. If you wanted that bill to come up for a vote, it would have come up. It would have passed overwhelmingly, and we wouldn't be talking about this. And it just, again, goes to show what one person with, you know, an ideology hostile to, you know, families and good government is capable of doing when you have gerrymandered maps.
Absolutely. And we all need health care. I talk about this all the time. So my father actually was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in his 60s. He worked every day of his life. He was a Vietnam veteran, Navy veteran, literally worked the Friday before he got diagnosed with Alzheimer's that next Monday in his 60s. And anyone who's been taking care of a family member with dementia knows how just awful that is on your finances. So he was on Medicaid at the end of his life. And it was something that was such a blessing for our family to be able to have his healthcare expenses covered. I just don't see why this is something that shouldn't be offered to everybody that would need the type of healthcare that my father needed. And so, you know, he did what he was supposed to do. He served his country. He worked every day of his life. But sometimes we need a little bit of help. And that's the kind of thing that Medicaid can do for folks.
Absolutely. And it just did not get done once again in this session. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has been our special guest this morning. Sarah, thank you so much for encouraging people to get out and vote. We'll look forward to visiting again with you real soon.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Hans Breitenmoser coming up next to talk about the prospect of agricultural visa reform in Wisconsin. That's next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Native American issues are human issues.
Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's spring, and a lot of critters that you've tried to keep out of your house are still trying to work their way back in. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food news on a Tuesday. Details on what critters are looking to get back in your home coming up next.
This is Mike.
Hey.
He's getting a quick haircut at the local barber school.
It's only $5. How bad can it? Oh!
Yikes. Don't be like Mike when it comes to weed control. Get the job done right the first time and plan ahead with Status Herbicide. It delivers elite corn safety and reliable performance, so you don't have to deal with more problems than you bargained for.
No!
Status Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Springtime is the time for babies around Wisconsin, and that includes some of the critters that want to use your home and outbuilding as their nursery. Tricia Werner and her family operate Werner Pest Control in Seymour. She says springtime is an invitation for those critters to try to seek shelter with you.
Warm weather brings a lot of insects out, so you're dealing with anything from spiders to the box elder bugs that have been hiding in your siding over winter. As far as rodents, you do see activity kind of pick up because they are now looking to reproduce and keep things going. So new this year, one of the things that we've been getting a lot of questions about is the box elder bugs and Asian beetles. With our unusual spring weather we've been dealing with, people have been seeing them come out more already than what they normally would because of the up and down temperatures.
Tricia Werner with Werner Pest Control says one of the advice pieces she leaves with homeowners is once those insects or critters exit your home or outbuildings, make sure that you're circling back around to button everything up so they don't come back.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise. A forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
And today, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, as well as our Wisconsin State Veterinarian, visiting with the media to update us on highly pathogenic avian influenza in dairy cattle. Wall Street Journal reported that a person in Texas tested positive for avian influenza after exposure to dairy cattle presumed to be infected with high-path bird flu. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed it on Monday. More details on how Wisconsin is protecting itself later today. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy today with scattered light rain and snow showers likely. Our high 44 this afternoon, the wind north at 10 to 20. Tonight, light rain and snow, our low down to 30, some minor accumulation. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, very windy with scattered light snow and a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
As always, to reach the show, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, or if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, put a comment there. We'll see it and maybe put it up on air as well. Hans Breitenmoser joins us now from up in Lincoln County, dairy farmer there, and we'll cover conditions and prices and also the potential for some progress on migrant labor and agricultural visas. Hans, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Really good, thank you. You have a good Easter weekend? Anything special?
We sure did. We got to color eggs with Grandma and eat ham with my sister. So what's not to like?
Oh, absolutely. No, that's outstanding. Let's talk first about the weather. You're not right in the bullseye of that, winter storm that's going to be affecting northeast Wisconsin. But whether it's what you're getting today on the periphery or the 10 inches we got about a week ago that quickly, melted away, I referred to it as time-released rain. This is really these are net positives for farmers who've had to deal with near drought conditions, right?
You better believe it. We need soil moisture and we need it bad. So we'll take what we can get these days for sure.
Yeah. But then, you have to not only deal with, the weather, but you have to deal with the markets as well. And as I was looking up some of the latest from the USDA on prices, it talked about how the Wisconsin all milk price for February was $19 per hundred weight, a dollar above last month's price, but $1.40 below last February. The price for corn is sitting at $4.14 a bushel, soybeans $12.10 a bushel, oats $4.08. All of these numbers, what I keep seeing in them is, it's not easy to be a farmer. It never was anyway, but the markets have not exactly been on the side of the producer lately.
Well, it is what it is, Pat. We just keep plugging along, but it would be nice to get a little bump in some of these commodities. For me, especially, of course, milk, corn, the price of corn, I'm typically not on the selling end of that equation, so I don't get too nervous about that, but the price of corn drives a lot of other things. But yeah, the milk price would be nice if we could get a couple more cents on the milk price for sure.
And then I didn't mention, hay and alfalfa hay and things like that, where again, that can be a kind of a boon or a bust to farmers, depending on what they're getting for moisture. They, on any given year, dairy farmers could be sellers or buyers when it comes to, hay for their use.
Oh, for sure. And we went into last fall sitting on about half as much haylage as what we would like to have been. Mm-hmm. And of course, that had us chopping more corn, which had us combining less corn, which, so these things all are connected and very, very impactful. So it would be nice to get some decent rain so we can get a decent hay crop this year for sure.
Absolutely. Well, let's turn our attention to something that had caught my eye about 2 weeks ago or so when... Again, to back up and look at the whole issue of immigration reform, we already know that there was a bipartisan deal in Congress to increase border security and reform immigration, a bipartisan deal. But then Donald Trump said, nope, I don't want that to pass, despite always telling us there's an emergency at the border. And so that thing is currently sitting dead. But I was surprised about 2 weeks ago to see that there was a bipartisan working group that was working on some of these issues, and they put forward some new recommendations on how to reform what's called the H-2A visa program for basically migrant foreign workers working on agricultural jobs. And it's basically because what, Hans? There are agriculture visas right now that are short-term for like harvesting crops, but that doesn't do you much good in dairy, does it?
Yeah, historically, those things haven't been able to take advantage of those. Dairy farming is 365 days of the year, regardless where you are in the country. And so animals need to be fed, animals need to be milked, animals need to be cleaned up after. And so the H-2A thing has typically been used by Christmas tree guys and fruit guys and vegetable guys and so forth. And so it would be nice to have access to that labor pool in dairy, but yeah, politics du jour, it's tough to get some of these things done because of silly political reasons sometimes.
Right, because something like this, while it could pass as a standalone measure, a lot of things that could pass as standalone measures end up getting wrapped up into other issues. And if there's a disagreement somewhere else in the package, the entire package stalls out. So this agricultural labor working group did put forward some recommendations on reforming the program to address things like dairy that are not seasonal and would benefit from supporting skilled workers. There would be driver's license reform on the federal level. We've talked about that with Tony Gonzalez. And yes, for folks that didn't follow that, how vital is that to have driver's license reform when it comes to migrant farm labor in Wisconsin?
Well, of course, it's very vital. I mean, anybody that's driving up and down the road should be concerned and interested in having everybody else driving up and down the road have a proper driver's license, because that means that person took a test. They understand the rules of the road, and they're safe out there. That has an impact on everyone's insurance and everyone's safety. So that's sort of pretty low hanging fruit and should be able to get done. But for sort of xenophobic and goofy reasons, people have decided that some folks shouldn't have driver's licenses and shouldn't be allowed to get them. And so we need to get back to a place where if you can pass a test, you can go ahead and drive to work or to school or wherever you need to go.
Well, and it would ensure, you know, again, safer operation if, you know, people could go through the exams and the licensing procedures and not just, you know, take their chances because they don't want to get caught. The group also talked about amending the National Labor Relations Act again so that, you know, workers, migrant workers have a better sense of protection under things like the Fair Labor Standards Act when it comes to worker protection, wage rates, health, safety, housing conditions. Again, for folks that want to make this a divisive issue, they're not exactly rushing in to make sure that these workers get a fair wage and safe conditions, but that's absolutely vital if Wisconsin's going to continue to have a healthy dairy industry, isn't it?
No, I sure think so. I mean, the reality is that most of the dairy products that everybody eats get to their table as a direct result of foreign-born workers. That's just a fact. And we can get nostalgic about how things used to be, but in the meantime, you know, there's no unringing that bell. We rely very heavily on folks who were born in other places besides the United States. That's just a fact of agriculture. That's the fact of the hospitality industry. That's a fact of a lot of industries. And it's fairly simple math, Pat. I mean, as the birth rate declines in this country, we get older and there's going to be less people to do some of the physical labor that's required. Now, automation has played a huge role and will continue to. There, there's the amount of labor that it takes to get things done now compared to several years ago has changed greatly, but there's still so much work to be done. And so we need to be realistic about that and look at the country as a whole and say, where are these folks coming from? And if they're coming in here to do the hard work, then by God, they should have protections and should be paid appropriately. So we can have a functioning system.
So I asked the folks over at Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden and others, about this, and the note sent back to me notes that the House Agriculture Committee's Agricultural Labor Working Group, which is what we've been talking about here, is not directly related to the Farm Bill, which is still delayed and sitting, you know, in Congress. It's more tied to showing what the House Agriculture Committee's agriculture labor priorities are, that Wisconsin Farmers Union, National Farmers Union are not pushing for these recommendations to go into the Farm Bill, but would like Congress to work on passing bipartisan legislation. And all of that is just to say that, again, Hans, there's a couple of different moving pieces here in Congress. There's these labor rules that we just talked about with agriculture visas and things, but there's still the entire Farm Bill, which covers so much else about farming and nutrition programs and ag trade and you name it. And it's all just been sitting there on hold well over 6 months late by now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you add labor to that and it's just going to gum up the works even more. They can't get the basic farm bill done. We sure as hell don't want to complicate it anymore because these guys have proven themselves incapable of getting the, you know, the work done that, that we used to take for granted, you know, that that was a thing that they had to do and they got done and we moved on. And now that's just too too high of a bar. So yeah, to complicate that with throwing labor in there in a big way is probably unwise.
Right. So you've got separate packages here that the House Agriculture Committee is looking at. Now, a member of that House Agriculture Committee is Republican Derek Van Orden from the 3rd Congressional District, who, when he's not, you know, throwing grenades on Twitter constantly, did at one point make note that he was part of this agricultural labor working group. But apart from maybe one passing mention of it, I've heard very little else coming from a congressman who is, you know, facing a tough reelection and who I've said repeatedly could and should be a champion of these kinds of agricultural reforms. But the fact that you're not hearing him trumpet this from the rooftops almost makes me wonder, you know, if, again, the xenophobia of his party and perhaps him individually gets in the way of him actually being a voice for reform, despite being on this group.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, again, politics, Pat. I mean, you know, these working groups have to be filled with lawmakers. And so elections matter, right? We elect these lawmakers and they don't just sit in a corner someplace. They get put on committees and working groups and so forth. And so it goes back to, you know, who's sitting around that table and how much is going to get done. Is there an earnest interest in getting the work done, or is that person just filling the seat because they're filling the seat, you know? And then them having to deal with the folks back home that helped get them elected, that are perhaps you know, super xenophobic and concerned about everybody coming from a foreign country working in this country and not really understanding the issues. So I'd like to have more confidence in this deal, but I'm having a hard time here.
Well, and that's noted by Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden, whose statement to us, you know, said that they are encouraged by the bipartisan strides made by the working group. Their work on addressing these pressing issues is commendable. However, he writes, given the current political landscape, achieving meaningful reform before the November elections remains uncertain. We remain cautiously hopeful and urge continued bipartisan cooperation to enact much-needed changes that support our agricultural workforce and ensure the vitality of our farms. A similar statement came out from Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. In other words, saying, well, this all sounds good, but, you know, talk is cheap. Let's see some actual action.
Talk is cheap. It costs money to buy whiskey. That's what my dad always said. So I don't know. I mean, I think Darren and Rob are obviously more. They're very diplomatic, and I think they were well spoken there. I shouldn't be so negative because negativity doesn't do us any good. We should be interested in making sure this something happens and it gets across the finish line, et cetera, et cetera. It's just that, you know, you get a little cynical after a while, Pat, when you see some of these canaries that are involved in some of these projects, what they're capable of doing and what they're capable of not doing, you know, sort of guides our attitudes towards this. But I'm sincere in my hope that something good comes of this.
Well, and that's where it should be. We should be sincere in our hope that something good comes of it and that people act in good faith. But then I just remind people that Oklahoma Senate Republican James Lankford, who led the way on this bipartisan border security immigration bill, a true bipartisan leader who is as Republican as they come, was censured by his own Oklahoma Republican Party for having the audacity to try to work on immigration reform. So, again, there's a lot of talk out there, but like you said repeatedly, the politics of the situation is just another matter entirely. But we at least got some details out on what could happen down the road. Hans Breitenmoser, thank you so much for the update. Take care up there with the weather, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks a lot, Ben. Take care.
All right. Chad Holmes is coming up next. You're up north.
Thank you. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
I feel like I'm constantly cleaning hair off my bathroom floor. At least my Swiffer Sweeper makes it easy. Sweeper heavy-duty dry cloths have ultra-thick pads to trap and lock hairs, like a hair magnet. And when I'm finished cleaning up my hair, Sweeper takes care of his too. Now the hair is gone, all thanks to Swiffer. Try Swiffer Sweeper heavy-duty dry cloths. I promise you'll love them or your money back. And also try Swiffer Sweeper Wet to make quick work of tough, sticky messes.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
That is the music that will greet you coming up in minutes on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau to mark the start of the Chad Holmes Show with the aforementioned Mr. Holmes. Chad, how are you?
I am doing good. Always an exciting day.
Yeah. All right. How did we get a little echo from you today? Who's hitting what buttons? I tell you. Who's
space?
I can see you again. I don't know.
Can we just start picking on Ian, your producer, just generically?
I mean, it has nothing to do with him because this is on my laptop.
Okay.
Turn the volume on your speaker off, not on StreamYard, on your laptop.
All right. We'll see what that does. Well, you do that.
All right. Can you still hear me?
Yep, we still hear the echo. So we'll just deal with Chad in space today. That is just fine. So I mentioned just a few minutes ago that there's this bipartisan movement on migrant farm labor. Derek Van Orden, the congressman from the western edge of Wisconsin, part of central Wisconsin, could be a champion of this, could be a champion for bipartisan reform. Instead, he's making Donald Trump look like a part-timer when it comes to using Twitter to just constantly, criticize people. Yesterday, the congressman went after Dan Schaefer, Milwaukee area journalist of the Recombobulation area, one of the most awarded journalists recently, whose newsletter and daily posts are must reads. And here's Derek Van Orden, taking a shot at him because of Well, let me back up. Dan Schaefer took a position against the statewide referendum questions tomorrow for the state constitution. Derek Van Orden puts a quote unquote reporter telling people how they vote. Your elitist, condescending attitude toward regular Americans is why your rag is going out of business. Well, he doesn't have a rag. He has a newsletter. He has a digital outlet on here. And this is what we get for leadership, including up in your neck of the woods with Tom Tiffany, who could be leaders on agricultural and immigration reform and just live to spew the right wing talking points.
It's just disturbing that it's sickening when you hear stuff like that, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
This is supposed to be somebody that is supposed to represent the people of his district. And for him to be in this mind space where anybody who thinks differently than he does gets this vitriol, whether you're a teenager or whether you're a journalist, this man has been put into office by the people of this district. Every step is disturbing. And I don't know how to respond to
God. It seems like the guy who was already a negative person prone to outbursts. It just feels like he's seriously regressed in the past month or two after trying initially during his term in office to try to somehow be, statesmanlike, be a bit more moderate, watch your temper a bit. And it looks like he's just decided to throw that out and, just go full blown MAGA and see where that gets him. And look, it's going to get him votes in many parts of Wisconsin, but
it's hard to fake your way forever.
Yeah.
And he was trying to fake his way for the first month or whatever amount of time it was. And the real person is always going to come through.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It could be somebody in our position on the radio. It could be somebody in politics. It could be anything. You can't fake your way through life. And we're seeing the real Derek Van Orden. And frankly, again, it comes to the point where this stuff leaks through. It allows people to show their worst selves in a much easier way. I mean, again, it's election day.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught the story yesterday where Mayor Rosenberg put out that a family member received this just piece of garbage message. Somebody pretending they're from the Green Bay Police Department, and also getting in and just, I mean, oh, I mean,
no, I had not heard that. I was traveling okay. yesterday.
Well, so all right.
That sounds just despicable.
A family member of the mayor received a threatening message from somebody pretending to be the Green Bay Police Department. But the thing was, a police department would never put out its bleep you, bleep your Jew family. You're lucky we don't drag you out and hang you for what you've done to Walmart.
Oh, my God.
I mean, unbelievable. So it's people like Derek Van Orden. It's people like Tom Tiffany. It's people like Donald Trump. It's people like Robin Voss who don't push back hard enough either. I mean, you can be a little bit nice. I mean, Robin Voss will put out a face that's a little more friendly, but in the end, these people don't stand up against hatred, and this is what happens. And it makes me livid.
That's exactly what it is that they rely on this violent rhetoric. Violent imagery, you know, the post that Trump shared of you know, President Biden looking to be bound and gagged in the back of a truck or something. Again, between that and the things he said about the daughter of a judge in one of his cases, if we continue coddling this, we are just going to continue down this path toward even more violence and more violent rhetoric, and it's going to chase good people away from running for office. And we should not tolerate that any further at all.
Absolutely. But again, even beyond the fact that we're running good people from running for office, we are opening up Pandora's box for evil because of these people. I mean, truly evil. And anybody who says it doesn't matter who is either president or congressman or mayor or city council, it matters beyond the meat and potatoes aspect of the job. There, it goes back to one of the points in this mayor's race about being aspirational. That was an early point where the alderperson Denny said maybe that the mayor was too aspirational at times. Well, I think we need to have people that are aspirational, that want to bring the best out of us, as opposed to just it. And frankly, sometimes it sounds like, well, we don't want the mayor talking about this because some people get uncomfortable. Well, sometimes people need to be a little more uncomfortable so they don't put out garbage like we're reading this morning that are being sent to members of the family of the mayor of Wausau.
Yeah, could not agree more. Is that, you know, it is long past time to call this kind of garbage out and, you know, and essentially name and shame. There's no other way. And yeah, at times they may be proud of it, you know, going, hey, look, I got some attention for this. But eventually it builds to the point that they understand they do not have the people behind them. And, you know, that's why I'm thankful that we've got shows like yours. Chad's show is on Bull Falls Radio weekday mornings from 8 to 10. Thank you for the visit, sir. Have a wonderful show. Talk again soon.
You too, Pat. Thank you.
Hey, Greg, try to have fun at the game today, okay?
Pat, I'm certainly going to have a good time. Let me tell you that much.
It's home opener day, everybody. Everybody's very happy about this. So hopefully all goes well for the Brewers taking on the Twins this afternoon. All right, thanks so much for being a part of our program today on Up North News Radio. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
If it's your turn to host a game, Grandpa's Barbecue suggests you try something different. Put out the perfect barbecue flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. Add it to your ribs, dip the meatballs, or drench your wings in the original flavor of Grandpa's Barbecue. It isn't too hot or spicy, fruity or smoky or whatever. Grandpa's Barbecue. Available in select stores and online at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Prime Minister Netanyahu admits Israel's armed forces unintentionally killed seven workers with Chef Jose Andres, World's